97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It is Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. Carl Middleman, our executive producer, why are we playing Legend of the Woolly Swamp?
Well, because Charlie Daniels is awesome.
He is awesome.
And Mark Cox is not here for the taping of the show today because he's in
the swamp. Hope he made it out alive. Wow, that's crazy. I heard some of his programs, and they were fantastic. Some of his guests, Diamond and Silk. How funny is that?
He had a lot of good guests this week. In fact, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Go to 971talk.com.
Absolutely. And share it, too, just like we want you to share Second Amendment Radio on the great outdoors. So Mark was traveling this week, and he will be back next week. So that's why I wanted to invite in our special recurring cameo guest, Ryan Conley from In Season Financial. Yes, he is a sponsor of the program, but he is also an outdoors guy. You remember hearing about his trek through the MR340. He has survived. He's back. Welcome back to the studio, buddy.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
But you're also a fisherman and a hunter. Mm-hmm. Are you preparing? I guess you're preparing for bird hunting this time of the year?
Well, it was bird hunting, obviously, with dove season's open and teal season opened not that long ago. And the big one for me is deer season.
Right.
Bow season. I started on the 15th of this month, and that'll go through the 15th of January.
So I was just watching Unashamed on YouTube with the Robertson family down in Louisiana, mm-hmm. and I think, is teal season over? Because the way they were talking, hundreds came through, and they were just knocking them down left and right. Is it over or no?
I think it is.
I mean, are they gone already to the Yucatan?
Well, right, yes. I mean, the season opened up here on the 11th or 12th.
Okay.
And I know a group of friends of mine that have a property. They did pretty well with them.
It's always good to have friends with property, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? Oh, it's like a boat. It's the best thing to do is have friends with them.
It's like somebody with a boat. As long
right.
as you know somebody with a boat, that's the
exactly.
best.
Yep.
So did you go teal hunting, or are you still planning to try?
I went for a day, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And?
Yep. We did well.
Okay,
yeah.
So you got a few in the freezer.
Yep.
Okay. But deer hunting,
right.
archery and gun, or just one
Both.
Or the other?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
And this year's going to be actually a lot of fun. My youngest daughter is the one that's expressed the most interest in wanting to go.
Fantastic.
Yes. And so tomorrow, I actually am going up to the property that I hunt on with my uncle. We're going to be setting it all up. Putting in more of a permanent type of stand, so it's going to take another couple days. But I was very happy to be able to find a youth-sized 243 for her.
Right.
So that was exciting. She's still so little, though.
Has she shot a firearm before?
Small ones, yes.
Okay. And has she been to deer camp already?
She has.
Okay. So
yes.
So she's comfortable around that environment.
Yes. And she's gone
important.
With me. A couple of times, but this will be the first year that I'm actually going to take her during the dedicated youth seasons.
Wow.
Which I didn't have anything like that growing up. You know, we just had our regular deer season, and I'm just talking about firearms right now. And back then, it was just 9 days. Now it's 11 days, and then they've added on a couple of other extra seasons, you know, with antlerless only and muzzle loaders and stuff like that. So, but now... It's just for kids.
So have you presented her with the brand new 243
yet? I did.
Okay, because
yes.
I think we were texting when you were picking it up, or
yep.
you just picked it up.
Right.
And she's 10.
She's 10.
Okay, so she's got to be excited.
She's excited. She's 10, but she's like in the 6th percentile for height and weight. She's tiny. So this will be a good... it'll be a good experience for her.
And what will your 13-year-old be doing while you take the 10-year-old hunting?
You know, I don't know. She, it's 13-year-old angst,
right,
you know,
right.
this time of year, or this time of her life. She'll probably not want to go until the very last minute when yeah. she sees her sister getting all ready to go. And so, if nothing else, she'll come with us and... you know, participate as well.
There's nothing better. I mean, when my, you know, dad and my uncles took me fishing
right.
or hunting as a kid, it was just that, just time,
yep.
just the time
yep.
spent. Even if you get skunked out in the field, you spent time together.
Exactly. She, my oldest one likes to fish, you know, pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. She's not, And to her credit, she spends a lot of time reading now, which I am very grateful for because she's not spending time on her phone.
Right, right. So you mean she's reading actual books?
Yeah, actual books.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because so many are reading Kindles and that kind of stuff.
And getting caught up in TikTok and all this other stuff. So I'm very grateful that she is.
Does she do the TikTok thing?
Not to my knowledge.
Man, I'll tell you what. You can send TikTok videos or brief ones through something, but I haven't downloaded the app because of all the fears we had from, several months ago about, China owned it or whatever. And so when I hear somebody, oh, yeah, we got it. I'm like, I don't know. You know what? Get them outside.
Exactly.
We actually had a story this past week on St. Louis Talks about how much better children are when they do have physical activity, whether it's organized or not organized. It doesn't pertain to girls because girls are just awesome and everything, ladies.
That's right.
But boys, they have less depression, less anxiety when you get them out. And as far as taking your young daughter hunting, Tim Chelsvik was on the show last week, and his 9-year-old went last year, got her first buck, I think.
Oh, wow.
And is just, she's part of the crew now.
Right.
She's so excited. So I think it's really important. Time spent with your kids, number one, and number two, to teach them a skill that they will use in their whole life.
Exactly. And I'm now in my, I guess technically you can say late 40s. I can't believe I say that anymore.
What? Are you really?
Technically, just barely.
Oh,
I'm
45
in early stages
and a half?
Of my late 40s. But I still have, memories of, very vivid memories of my first year.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I think I'll have those for the rest of my life. And so to be able to, pass that on to them, I'm really looking forward to it.
Now, did you grow up in a family of hunters? Or did you do this all on your own?
No, my immediate family, my dad was not much of a hunter. My mom grew up on a farm.
Okay.
And she had 5 brothers. And so through that side of the family is where I was introduced to it. And my uncle Vince, who unfortunately passed away in 2014, was the catalyst for taking me and putting up with me when I was, young and making stupid choices. And
I had an uncle like that too.
Yeah, and it was actually one of the he unfortunately passed away of cancer, and I knew going into the final season, this was probably going to be the final season.
Right.
And so it was just one of those, it was just great to be able to take him.
Yeah.
Because without me, he wasn't going to be able to go.
I'm telling you, I did the same thing. My uncle Dwayne up in Minnesota was very ill, in 74 or 75 years old. And they were, kind of making pre-plans for a funeral. And I'm like, I don't want to go to the funeral. I'm going to see him now. And so I'm glad you got time to actually go spend time. Whatever that hunting trip was, it was, it was time. Just like with your youngins, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think we even got one that year. And it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
And the next year, my heart wasn't even in it. I went, but it was just getting through that first year without him was difficult. But now to be able to start anew and to bring this great activity, this great sport, this
skill,
great lifestyle to my kids is just awesome.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you being our guest co-host on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. On the program today, we are going to talk with a very passionate firearms specialist, Beth Alcazar. She has it's a book called The Women's Handgun and Self-Defense Fundamentals. She is also associate editor of Concealed Carry Magazine and creator of the Pacifiers and Peacemakers blog. The USSCA is holding a big event in Fort Worth this weekend, and we have an opportunity to actually talk to her about how important it is for everybody, but especially women, to be trained with firearms. And coming up next, we are going to talk to a guy. When I first met him at the Big Dogs Poker Bash back in May, it was like a 3-minute interaction. And the only thing I remember hearing was, I haven't hunted without a camera on me in many, many years. I was like, dude, you got to be on the show. So we're going to talk to Keith Reen from Squincher Outdoors next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Stay right there. Video kill the radio star. Video kill. It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, along with my guest co-host, Ryan Connolly from In Season Financial, who is a outdoors buff, and really good to talk to you about life. Ryan, always good to see you in person, and thanks for coming in and filling in for Mark Cox, who's doing great things in Washington, D.C. The show is available on the Odyssey app. If you want to share it with your friends, want to take it out to the woods with you, we encourage you to do that. This segment is brought to you by Chuck's Boots, where they feature a huge variety of hunting boots. You need muck boots, you need work boots or biker boots, they're ready for you, and it's going to get cold. I hate to say it out loud, but they've got a great selection of Carhartt warm weather gear as well at both locations, Fenton and St. Peter's. And of course, you can now shop online at chucksboots.com, and that's kind of a revelation because they hadn't had that for a long time, and they do now, and it's refined. The guest that we have right now, I will tell you, I met back in May and literally had a three-minute conversation with him at my Big Dogs Poker Bash for the Eureka Police Officers Support Fund. And a lady walked up to me and said, "You need to get this guy on your show." And then she said who he was. And I think the first thing that Keith might have said was, "I haven't been hunting without a camera on me in how many years?"
Oh, gosh.
A little while?
2004.
There you go.
Started doing it. Really got heavy into it probably around 2005, 2006.
His name is Keith Reen, and you might be familiar with his mug or his crew. I found some YouTube videos. Squincher is a brand of an energy drink. Explain what your sponsor is. Squincher is what?
Yeah, so, it's a good time for me to give them a little plug. So Squincher, if you think about, some of the other hydration drinks, the sports drinks, it's very similar to that. Hydration is the main goal there. High in potassium, lower sodium, so it's a little healthier than a lot of them out there. But it comes in a lot of different varieties. It comes in powders that is pretty handy in the field. They have a product called Everlight, which is really nice. It's in a little, I call it plastic type pouch thing that you can't hardly destruct them. So you can stuff it down in your backpack or throw it in your boat, throw it around, and you just pull the top off and drink it when you need it. But it's basically there to give your electrolytes back and everything. So,
nice. So
we just got to represent them in the outdoors and show them how it's useful to keep yourself hydrated, while hunting and fishing and
So it's a juice box, but even better, right? Or juice pouch,
correct.
Even better. Well, Keith, if somebody walks up to you like I did at the Poker Bash years ago or months ago, what do you tell them? What do you do?
Well, basically, I have a business called Keter Media. So I'm a producer, a video producer. I do a lot of, video productions, commercials type stuff for people, which I've learned to do because I started filming myself in the outdoors, like I said, years ago, and wanted to kind of do the TV thing.
Right.
And kind of started getting more and more into that and picking up people that really liked what we did. And I teamed up with my high school buddy, Tony Wildley, who's a fishing guide in Branson. And we started filming everything we did and started putting on YouTube and then eventually got on TV. And now we're televised on KYCW that is based in Branson and Springfield, but it actually reaches into Arkansas and Kansas a little bit. So
nice.
Pretty much covers the southwest quadrant of Missouri.
And as far as hunting goes, Keith Reen, our guest from the southwestern portion of the state, what is your favorite type of hunting? Is it bow and arrow? Is it firearms? Is it wrestling them to the ground? You tell me.
Definitely archery. We do a little bit of firearms, when it's just the situation comes up. But 90% of the time we're archery hunting, primarily for whitetail deer. We're ate up in deer hunting, but. I also love the turkey hunt. I bow hunt for turkeys in the spring, and we do a little bit of chasing wild hogs and just about anything that'll come up opportunity-wise. I'm actually going to Africa next year for the first time ever, so I'm really excited about that.
Oh, now you're talking. Hi, Keith. Ryan Connolly here. Thanks for joining. What are you going to Africa to hunt?
I think I'm probably going to stick with a basic package there. They've got the wildebeest. Trying to think of the hog.
The warthog?
Warthog, yeah, my brain's just going dead right now.
It's early, for some.
Yeah, and, And Impala, well, these are deer, these are things I don't normally get to hunt, so I would try to remember. And Impala is part of that package, and then you can kind of just tack on things if you want to. I got a bad feeling I'm going to spend a lot more money than I going out there to spend, because I think that's what happens. You get out there and you get excited and you start seeing some other things and you're like, you know, heck yeah, let's do it while I'm here. So we'll see. I don't know. I haven't done it yet, but I hear it's addicting.
And it's going to be archery hunting?
Correct.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Easier to travel with, I would guess. Keith, do you happen to know the name Megan Turnbow?
I do know the name. I don't know the person.
Yeah, she's a friend of mine, and you remember the dentist lion story many years ago. She educated me on that. The fact that, you know, hunting in Africa is actually, like, really their only revenue source, you know, to get fresh water or electricity or food. And so are you working with a group? Are you, you know, is your reservations for a group like that?
No, we're going through a particular outfitter, but I do know that, like, all the meat and everything that, you know, we can't bring back with them is all donated to the villagers. So it always goes to a good cause. You know, so.
Wow. And will you be bringing a camera crew with you there?
Probably. Well, my partner Tony's going. We probably will just take turns filming each other and just hope it all goes good. So, you know, it's a, that happens with us a lot of times. You know, we're traveling, unfortunately, you know, a lot of times it's just he and I, and so we have to take turns filming. So it's a dedication. You have to sacrifice some of your own hunting, you know, time in order to do what we do, but it's worth it to me.
So how many days are you going to be out there?
In Africa, 10 days.
Oh, man.
Okay, yeah. You're going to spend more money than you think you are.
I know.
Well, let's bring it back to our shores. Talk about some of your record or your most historical hunts that you've done here. I saw a video. It was, I believe, the last video of season 5, and it was a huge buck that you brought down.
Yeah.
It landed in a stream. It ended up in a stream, and you pulled it out and talked about that. Is that an epic hunt that you've done, or can you talk about some other ones that you've done?
Well, we've got, you know, I've got a lot of them, like, you know, through the years. Probably the most memorable hunt of mine, like, we have a lease in central Missouri that we've been hunting for about 6 or 7 years now, and we had a particular deer that we nicknamed DK.
That's it. Yep.
That came from a double kicker, is where that why they call him DK, because he's got two little kickers off his G2s, which is the, you know, the second tine from coming up from out of the skull. But we had pictures of him, and it was just one of those rare opportunities where we had a lot of we saw him the year before in December, and then we had a lot of trail cam pictures of him. And so I had made up my mind, if I had to eat my tag, I was going to get that deer, and I finally did. It worked out. I think it was Halloween weekend. That's by far my most memorable hunt. So you asked me about records. We actually, a guy I used to do a lot of bow fishing with years ago, we actually had the world record, alligator gar for several years. I don't know if it's still holding up now, but I think it is, but that was from Texas, but it was a 300-pound, alligator gar, 8'2". And so that kind of, like, really helped put me on the map as far as people starting to pay attention that we were serious about what we were doing. So I kind of started out filming, you know, bow fishing trips, and that just kind of everything evolved from that. Right.
That's so 8'2".
Yeah. And that's a freshwater fish. Yeah. You can find that one. If you just do searches for giant alligator gar, and especially if you stick my name in there, Robin Parks, it'll pop up, but it's a gigantic fish.
Did you get that one mounted?
Yeah, it's actually in my living room. It looks like a bench.
I was going to say, that'd be a lot of boots and belts and purses out of that thing.
Yeah, it would have been. Yeah, and they're, I don't know if you know much about alligator gar, but their hide is like armor.
Yep.
It's like super, super tough, you know, so they make jewelry out of that stuff and everything. So, yeah, it's a cool animal. It definitely looks like an alligator in the face, but it's a fish.
Did you realize it was that big when you first shot it or saw it?
We did. But it's kind of a weird thing that when it gets really hot in the middle of summer, they actually have lungs, so they get oxygen, you know, for like from real air. They'll come up to the surface and take a big gulp and then go back down. And when a fish gets that big, when they do that, they make a giant splash, you know, their tail or head. So we were out in the wide open water, but we could hear that going on, and we always know what that is, you know. And so we started easing our way over towards that, and just happened to surface right in front of the boat. And I mean, if you look at the video, have a video on that too, and we both say, oh my God, at the exact same time, and Carter and I shot at the exact same time, which was kind of cool because, you know, we both put in a lot of effort for it, so we kind of both share that fish, both arrows hit at the same time, and maybe the only reason we got it in, to tell you the truth.
Keith Reen is our guest from Squincher Outdoors to talk about the kinds of hunts that he's done in the past. I'd like to ask you, are you excited about the elk and bear hunting in the state of Missouri?
Well, I am. Yeah, it's a great opportunity for a lot of people. I don't think that I'll ever actually be lucky. That it's like winning the lottery, you know, getting those tags because they're so limited. But I do think it's super cool that we have those in Missouri now, and people are starting to get an opportunity to do so.
Have you hunted bear before?
I've hunted bear in Canada. I went up there and kind of messed up because I was holding out for a giant that we kept seeing on camera, and I cast up several bears. And then the last day, I said, okay, I'm just going to, you know, take a good bear when it comes by. And, of course, that was the only day it didn't. But the experience was phenomenal. I've had a chance to do that. I didn't mention this, but I'm actually a retired teacher. I taught for 25 years, so... in doing this TV show, I was always very limited to what I could do, and everything was kind of a weekend warrior. But since I recently retired, I'm going to be able to do a whole lot of those things that I didn't get to do, you know, in the past because I'm on my own time now.
Yeah, I can imagine. My dad is a retired teacher, and during the school, you think that you do it for the 3 months off, but the reality is teachers are busy. Year round.
Definitely, year round. Without a doubt. And then, of course, the things that I really enjoy doing was all in the fall and winter. Right. So it didn't work out too good for me.
Well, it's interesting. You can follow your passions in a post-teacher world, but thank you for committing to 25 years of shaping young minds. And that's what you're doing with your videos, right, Keith? I mean, because when I'm looking to change a flapper on a toilet, I go to YouTube University. I go to find out what I'm doing. And if I question that, my last season's hunt wasn't as maybe I did something wrong. There's a lot to learn from your videos.
Yeah, and we do try to teach, things. We try not to be know-it-alls because that's not what we're about. But the more you watch our shows, you'll realize that what I think is very unique and I kind of really take pride in with our show is that we don't try to hide the fact that we've got a camera guy going. We have a lot of interaction. Tony and I talk back and forth a lot of times. You won't see that a lot of times on hunting shows because, it's kind of like they say, if you don't know the cameraman's there, you're doing a good job because, you're supposed to get lost in the story.
Right.
But this is hunting. It's real life. It's reality TV. So I don't see anything wrong with the interaction there. So, our cameraman talks right along with the hunter a lot of times. And so we do have opportunities to discuss what we should have done better, how we messed up and stuff like that. So I think that's unique about how we do it. I think it's kind of cool.
No, I couldn't agree with you more as far as involving the cameraman in your dialogue. I don't say YouTube junkie, but I watch a lot of YouTube channels, for a variety of different ones, and the ones I like the most are the ones that are real. And when you're out there, it's made to look like you're alone, but obviously you're not alone. And so to involve, especially if it's your buddy that you've known since, fifth grade? Those are great experiences to document.
Yeah, and of course, with us hunting together and having that same passion, I get just as much thrill out of filming him, getting a good animal, and he does the same. And so, it's hard to hide that excitement just because you're running a camera. So, it's just, I'm like, heck with it. Let's just not hide the fact that we're there and just kind of interact as though we're a couple buddies out doing our thing. And people seem to really enjoy that. We add humor to our stuff, and we're a couple of goofballs, so we mess up a lot of times, and we're just goofy in general. So I think people like that we're ourselves and not trying to act like we're somebody else when we're doing our hunts.
Well, you're doing a great job, and it's an honor, Keith, to have you on the show. Keith Reen, where can people find you and what you do in the hunting and fishing world online?
Okay, well, like everybody else in the world, we're on Facebook, of course. You can look us up there. It's the Squincher Outdoors. We're on Instagram. And of course, on YouTube, Squincher Outdoors there.
And spell Squincher for us one time.
Okay. SQWINCHER.
Perfect. We will do that. Keith, thanks for thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in your future hunts, and let's connect again. Please be on the show again with us.
Yeah, I'll do this anytime. I'll talk about hunting any day of the week. So,
I bet you will. All right, Keith Rien, our guest on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, my guest co-host, Ryan Conley from In Season Financial. We're coming back, and we're going to be talking concealed carry. There's a big event going on, so we want to tell you all about it next on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Producer, you are such a good man. I've played that song a million times on the radio. I haven't heard that song in decades.
Pew pew.
It feels like. Carl, our executive producer, our guest host, Ryan Conley of In Season Financial, great outdoorsman and a good father as well. But we are going to go to Texas next for anybody that's interested in concealed carry and training. We're going to talk to our guest, Beth Alcazar, here in just a moment. But this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you're looking for a silencer for a weapon of yours, they have this awesome kiosk in their store in De Pere. You can go in and expedite the process. Jesse, Brad, and their crew there can sell you guns, they can sell you accessories, they can sell you cleaning equipment, and they can get you started on a silencer for your weapon. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Beth Alcazar is one of the leading instructors in the firearms industry and the author of Women's Handgun and Self-Defense Fundamentals, and we welcome her to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're great. We're great. Ryan's with me here as my guest co-host, so be nice to him. But we feel very fortunate because you have a big event going on this weekend. And tell me, it's not here in St. Louis, like I might have mentioned earlier in the program, but tell me what you guys are doing in Fort Worth.
Yeah, the USCCA has it's our sixth. It would have been our seventh Concealed Carry and Home Defense Expo. That'll be at the Fort Worth Convention Center. And it's basically just a three-day consumer show where everyone can come and learn more about home defense, self-defense, and, of course, the concealed carry lifestyle.
And when did you get started into firearms? Was it your parents, your grandfather, or just yourself?
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in a house without firearms, but about 20 years ago, I ended up kind of mentoring with someone in the shooting, hunting, outdoor industry, and I kind of lived vicariously through all these other competitive shooters and hunters and gun enthusiasts, and just kind of really enjoyed it so much that I continued to work as an editor and writer kind of behind the scenes until probably the last, I guess, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. I basically left the traditional classroom for the shooting range, and I have not looked back since.
So, Beth, were you a writer before you got into firearms?
Not really. It kind of came all together as I was getting more and more involved with the firearms industry. I was getting more and more involved with the writing aspect of it and kind of learned both crafts almost simultaneously, I guess. And it was awesome. It was a great thing. And now I have the opportunity to kind of combine a lot of my skills and my loves in this great organization, USCCA, to be able to train and educate and, you know, help people all across the nation learn more about how to be safe and protect themselves and their families.
No, I think it's awesome. The fact that, you know, being an authority on it and a woman in what has historically been a male-dominated industry for the most part, at least passions wise, seen you grow over the last 20 years has to be a huge accomplishment.
It's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, when I first went to some of the different shows and conventions back in the year 2000, that sounds so funny. there were certainly some women that were represented, but nowadays you see women entrepreneurs, competitive shooters, the business owners, and, you know, women at the forefront of training and advocacy. And I mean, as we're seeing just in the nation too, with I guess it's about 40% of new gun owners just within the last year and a half are women.
Absolutely.
And that's really fantastic. That's definitely something I'm passionate about, something USCCA is also passionate about, so much so that at our expo, we have a whole section designed just for women. It's the Women's Concealed Carry Showroom. And we kind of wanted to create a comfortable environment where women can come and ask questions that maybe they wouldn't ask, you know, just anybody or a complete stranger. And they would also have a chance to try on some different holster options and, you know, get some of the knowledge and information they're really seeking in a unique kind of setting.
Well, and I think the industry is following that trend as well. Chuck's Boots, a sponsor of this program, has concealed carry purses and backpacks that are very important. And I think most importantly of all is that it empowers you. I mean, you know, maybe your dad taught you how to change your tire on the side of the road when you were a little girl, like my wife's family did, and it's empowering. But then you add into your personal safety. This is really what, you know, a lot of people are concerned about these days, if you will. So I think it's good. And you might remember, Beth, back in the day when a car dealer would advertise on the radio, "We have female salespeople," because that was often dominated by men. And my wife is actually, she says, I want to buy a vehicle from that woman. So we went to that dealership. It was a great experience because women talk differently to women than men do, even if they don't mean to. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And it's a perspective thing and it's a life experience thing. And, you know, when everything from cars to shoes to, you know, houses, you name it, it's great to be able to get sometimes the perspective of someone who maybe thinks like you do or feels like you do or has experienced some of those things, whether it's motherhood or you're a grandma or you're a single woman, any one of those things. And I think that certainly translates into the firearms arena. Because, you know, it can be intimidating to walk into an environment that's still very typically male-dominated, you know, as far as classrooms or teachers or gun stores or even the shooting range. But thankfully, we're seeing so many more women's faces. And, you know, that's, again, part of my passion. And with the USCCA's goal to train 1.3 million over the next 5 years, I guarantee that a huge amount of those folks will be women because we're taking responsibility for ourselves, for our own safety, for our family safety. And I'm going to tell you, women love options. So they love going to another female instructor or someone at the range and seeing all the great products and classes that are out there designed for them and for their needs. And sometimes for the, you know, specific wants that we might have that guys don't necessarily consider.
I like how you mentioned 1.3 million trained, because there is a huge difference between just having your concealed carry permit and exactly knowing what to do in if a situation were to arise, both what to do in the situation and how to handle things after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, what are the numbers now, upwards of 8.3 or more million new gun owners, not just folks purchasing firearms in the last few years, but new gun owners joining the fold. And, you know, it's great that they've purchased a gun. It's great if they go get a concealed carry permit, if they require one in their state. But like you said, the most important thing anybody can do is to seek out that training, the education and knowledge that you need, both for mental information as far as making wise decisions, conflict avoidance, I can't even talk, situational awareness, and of course the physical side of things, from marksmanship to defensive shooting. All of those things are so important, but it's what makes this community great, that there are great resources and information out there and people so willing to help others. And I hope that we can kind of promote that and continue that, especially through our expo, but with instructors all across the U.S. too. I know that there's folks out there that are just so excited for the opportunity to train new people. It's an awesome feeling.
Well, this weekend is the Concealed Carry and Home Defense Expo in Fort Worth at the Convention Center. Is there an online component that people can watch from around the country, or for that matter, around the world online?
You know, I think there were plans to do that at USCCAExpo.com.
Okay.
So if folks want to hop on there, and of course, we are probably going to post a lot of different things through our USCCA social media. So you might find some different interviews and videos and segments on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you choose to put your social media input.
And I wanted to ask you, because of the title of your blog, Pacifiers and Peacemakers, this is women-directed or women-focused with protecting themselves, and Mama Bear comes out, right?
Yes.
For those women that may be listening, for the families that are listening right now that are absolutely anti-gun, they... Our executive producer, you are such a good man. I've played that song a million times on the radio. I haven't heard that song in decades.
Pew pew.
It feels like. Carl, our executive producer, our guest host, Ryan Conley of In Season Financial, great outdoorsman and a good father as well. But we are going to go to Texas next for anybody that's interested in concealed carry and training. We're going to talk to our guest, Beth Alcazar, here in just a moment. But this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. If you're looking for a silencer for a weapon of yours, they have this awesome kiosk in their store in De Pere. You can go in and expedite the process. Jesse, Brad, and their crew there can sell you guns. They can sell you accessories. They can sell you cleaning equipment. And they can get you started on a silencer for your weapon. Check them out at RazorbackArmory.com. Tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory. Beth Alcazar is one of the leading instructors in the firearms industry and the author of Women's Handgun and Self-Defense Fundamentals. And we welcome her to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Beth, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're great. We're great. Ryan's with me here as my guest co-host, so be nice to him. But we I feel very fortunate because you have a big event going on this weekend. And tell me, it's not here in St. Louis, like I might have mentioned earlier in the program, but tell me what you guys are doing in Fort Worth.
Yeah, the USCCA has it's our sixth. It would have been our seventh Concealed Carry and Home Defense Expo. That'll be at the Fort Worth Convention Center. And it's basically just a three-day consumer show where everyone can come and learn more about home defense, self-defense, and, of course, the concealed carry lifestyle.
And when did you get started into firearms? Was it your parents, your grandfather, or just yourself?
You know, it's interesting. I grew up in a house without firearms, but about 20 years ago, I ended up kind of mentoring with someone in the shooting, hunting, outdoor industry, and I kind of lived vicariously through all these other competitive shooters and hunters and gun enthusiasts, and just kind of really enjoyed it so much that I continued to work as an editor and writer kind of behind the scenes until probably the last, I guess, maybe 8 or 10 years ago. I basically left the traditional classroom for the shooting range, and I have not looked back since.
So, Beth, were you a writer before you got into firearms?
Not really. It kind of came all together as I was getting more and more involved with the firearms industry. I was getting more and more involved with the writing aspect of it and kind of learned both crafts almost simultaneously, I guess. And it was awesome. It was a great thing. And now I have the opportunity to kind of combine a lot of my skills and my loves in this great organization, USCCA, to be able to train and educate and, you know, help people all across the nation learn more about how to be safe and protect themselves and their families.
No, I think it's awesome. The fact that, you know, being an authority on it and a woman in what has historically been a male-dominated industry for the most part, at least passions-wise, seen you grow over the last, you know, 20 years has to be a huge accomplishment.
It's been absolutely phenomenal. I mean, when I first went to, you know, some of the different shows and conventions back in the year 2000, that sounds so funny. there were certainly some women that were represented, but nowadays you see women entrepreneurs, competitive shooters, the business owners, and, you know, women at the forefront of training and advocacy. And I mean, as we're seeing just in the nation too, with I guess it's about 40% of new gun owners just within the last year and a half are women.
Absolutely.
And that's really fantastic. That's definitely something I'm passionate about, something USCCA is also passionate about, so much so that at our expo, we have a whole section designed just for women. It's the Women's Concealed Carry Showroom. And we kind of wanted to create a comfortable environment where women can come and ask questions that maybe they wouldn't ask, you know, just anybody or a complete stranger. And they would also have a chance to try on some different holster options and, you know, get some of the knowledge and information they're really seeking in a unique kind of setting.
Well, and I think the industry is following that trend as well. Chuck's Boots, a sponsor of this program, has concealed carry purses and backpacks that are very important. And I think most importantly of all is that it empowers you. I mean, you know, maybe your dad taught you how to change your tire on the side of the road when you were a little girl, like my wife's family did, and it's empowering. But then you add into your personal safety. This is really what, you know, a lot of people are concerned about these days, if you will. So I think it's good. And you might remember, Beth, back in the day when a car dealer would advertise on the radio, "We have female salespeople," because that was often dominated by men. And my wife is actually, she says, I want to buy a vehicle from that woman. So we went to that dealership. It was a great experience because women talk differently to women than men do, even if they don't mean to. Do you agree?
Absolutely. And it's a perspective thing and it's a life experience thing. And, you know, when everything from cars to shoes to, you know, houses, you name it, it's great to be able to get sometimes the perspective of someone who maybe thinks like you do or feels like you do or has experienced some of those things, whether it's motherhood or you're a grandma or you're a single woman, any one of those things. And I think that certainly translates into the firearms arena. Because, you know, it can be intimidating to walk into an environment that's still very typically male-dominated, you know, as far as classrooms or teachers or gun stores or even the shooting range. But thankfully, we're seeing so many more women's faces. And, you know, that's, again, part of my passion. And with the USCCA's goal to train 1.3 million over the next 5 years, I guarantee that a huge amount of those folks will be women because we're taking responsibility for ourselves, for our own safety, for our family safety. And I'm going to tell you, women love options. So they love going to another female instructor or someone at the range and seeing all the great products and classes that are out there designed for them and for their needs. And sometimes for the, you know, specific wants that we might have that guys don't necessarily consider.
I like how you mentioned 1.3 million trained, because there is a huge difference between just having your concealed carry permit and exactly knowing what to do in if a situation were to arise, both what to do in the situation and how to handle things after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing, what are the numbers now, upwards of 8.3 or more million new gun owners, not just folks purchasing firearms in the last few years, but new gun owners joining the fold. And, you know, it's great that they've purchased a gun. It's great if they go get a concealed carry permit, if they require one in their state. But like you said, the most important thing anybody can do is to seek out that training, the education and knowledge that you need, both for mental information as far as making wise decisions, conflict avoidance, I can't even talk, situational awareness, and of course the physical side of things, from marksmanship to defensive shooting. All of those things are so important, but it's what makes this community great, that there are great resources and information out there and people so willing to help others. And I hope that we can kind of promote that and continue that, especially through our expo, but with instructors all across the U.S. too. I know that there's folks out there that are just so excited for the opportunity to train new people. It's an awesome feeling.
Well, this weekend is the Concealed Carry and Home Defense Expo in Fort Worth at the Convention Center. Is there an online component that people can watch from around the country, or for that matter, around the world online?
You know, I think there were plans to do that at USCCAExpo.com.
Okay.
So if folks want to hop on there, and of course, we are probably going to post a lot of different things through our USCCA social media. So you might find some different interviews and videos and segments on Facebook or Instagram or wherever you choose to put your social media input.
and I wanted to ask you, because of the title of your blog, Pacifiers and Peacemakers, this is women-directed or women-focused with protecting themselves, and Mama Bear comes out, right?
yes.
For those women that may be listening, for the families that are listening right now that are absolutely anti-gun, they don't want to, they do not want to touch a firearm. There's many people that, you know, just have no desire to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you direct them? Do you direct them to self-defense classes? Do you direct them to mace or to the gel components or those different types of protective items on the market now?
Very potentially, it could be all of the above. What's interesting to me about the mindset of a lot of women, especially parents, moms, who say, well, you know, I'm anti-gun, a question I'll often throw at them is, well, just out of curiosity, in your home, do you have an oven? And they kind of look at me like I'm nuts. Of course we have an oven. And I'm like, well, how do you keep your children from burning themselves or from, you know, destroying a toy or from doing something they shouldn't? And they look at me like, well, of course we train them and we teach them. We educate them not to touch the stove or the oven or say, stay away from it. And I'm like, well, there's your mentality right there. It's about education, not isolation.
Wow.
So even those folks out there who are very anti-gun, please don't be anti-knowledge. We want to protect our kids from things that they could get involved with if they don't have enough information. And there are so many great resources out there. Even if you choose never to have a gun in your home, at least you can have the knowledge to make wise decisions and keep your family safe. But I highly recommend looking into all of those possibilities that you mentioned, because to each her own, right? That's, again, the beauty of it. It's about options.
Yeah.
And we actually, even at the expo, have some taser training. So it's not just handguns, and we have some self-defense training. So it's not even just extra tools. The most important thing you can do is have the right mindset. So you can even take that training sitting in your jammies in your home so that you can learn more about how not to look like a victim or how to deselect yourself from the victim pool altogether.
A lot of mic drop moments here in this conversation.
Yes, there are. I think the title of your book is spot on, because it's not just women and handguns. It's women and self-defense fundamentals.
Yes,
so for those individuals that are anti-gun, they still have options to protect themselves.
Yes. And, you know, it's, I love to call that the stepping stone. And a lot of times, you know, we'll encourage women or new folks to take a look at the safety information or just at the basics so that they can just be better prepared when they live their life and go out and about in their communities. But that stepping stone for me, when folks ask me about what I do or they come to my classes, usually the question they ask me is, what's next? And I love to see that excitement and that thirst for knowledge. And it's even more exciting to be able to provide that through the USCCA and all the great training and events that we have available.
Well, I'm sure that there's a lot of people that can relate to high diving board analogy of, man, I looked at it for years as a kid, and I'm like, oh, I finally did it that one time. I was like, oh, I couldn't get up that ladder quick enough. And a lot of people, men and women, need to be trained so much. There's a famous interaction that I refer to a lot. A lady in Missouri, you don't have to have a CCW, right? You can just carry in the state of Missouri. Great American state, and she carried this beautiful chrome silver plated whatever it was a Colt 45 pistol in her purse, and she showed it to me when I was with her, and I said, oh my gosh, when's the last time you trained and deployed that thing, you know, in a practice setting? She goes, oh, I've never done that. I said, get that thing out of your purse. Get it out of your purse. That is the worst thing. It was almost like an accessory to her. And this, my friends, is not an accessory, but for men and women, you cannot train enough. And I will be honest with you, when I had that conversation with her, as I walked away from it, I thought, okay, when was the last time I was at the range? And that was a little humbling. I have to be honest with you, Beth.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think that's something for all of us. Life interrupts sometimes. And whether that's, you know, something like a pandemic or whether that's just, you know, you're rearing your kids, there's so many things that can distract us. But thankfully, there's other options like the dry fire opportunities. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to be present at the shooting range to get in some good knowledge and education and to get your brain working or to get your skills up to par. So for those looking for opportunities, there's a lot of really great free seminars at the USCCA Expo, and I get to teach some of them, which is a little bit awesome, but also a little bad because I'm missing out on some of my, you know, fellow instructors and 2A advocates and their sessions going on at the same time. So I'm a little bummed.
There's so much to learn, right?
Somebody captures it for I can watch it later.
Right. Well, Beth Alcazar, thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. We're glad your people reached out to our people. You can hear your passion in your voice. And it's funny because Ryan is from In Season Financial because he is all about empowering people to enjoy their passions through life, not just at the end of life. But I wish you luck on the Fort Worth Convention Center event, the Concealed Carry and Home Defense Expo. Look it up online, and you can probably do that through the USSCA online. Beth, thank you for joining us.
It was an honor. Y'all take care. Be safe.
Good luck. Thank you. That's awesome. All right. Well, She was passionate.
She was.
That's awesome. Maybe you should sign her up. I'm just kidding.
I would love to. Absolutely.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us. And Mark Cox will be back next week on the program. But thank you so much for listening in to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great rest of your weekend, wherever you are. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.